We've put these measures that are so high on ourselves, and we need to stop doing that. We need to say, yes, I'm already good enough, but I need to talk about my successes so that other people will know about it.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Lisa Bragg. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Lisa. One. She's the author of Bragging Rights, How to Talk About Your Work Using Purposeful Self-Promotion. Two, after a career as a journalist, Lisa's been an entrepreneur for more than 16 years. And three, Lisa's a mother, wife, and guardian of a 95-pound dog. And two rascally cats. Lisa Bragg, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks for having me, George. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Delighted to be talking with you today, in particular about your book, Bragging Rights, partly because bragging, when I was a kid, it was a bad word.
Oh, George, it's such a taboo topic. It really is. And that's why I really want us to start talking about it because, you know, we are products of where we've come from. So a lot of us, you know, our parents, it's the factory era. So they were taught to put your head down, do good work, and eventually someone will notice you. They've passed that on to us. But it comes from the factory era where we were cogs in a machine. Before that, we wanted to just get a steady paycheck. But now, I'm going to just quickly fast forward us. We're now in the information and imagination era, and we all know we compete and collaborate globally. So we need to shift the mindset of what bragging and self-promotion is to what it really needs to be. And I'll get up right off the top for our audience and for everyone. Bragging means to talk about your success with pride, and pride means self-love. And I believe we all need more of that self-love. But we get it confused with self-aggrandizement. I think it's because self-aggrandizement is one of those mouthful words. It's a big word. So, and that means that's the puffery, that ickiness that we think is bragging. That's the, oh, I'm better than you kind of attitude, which is not bragging. Bragging is really talking about your success.
That's curious. That brings to mind of recently, I was talking to a group of colleagues and we're telling a little bit about each other. And I pointed out that I'm a runner and that I started running in high school on the cross country team. And the first race, and we ran around the blocks of the city and we were geeky looking guys. And the first race I dropped out of, I failed to finish. It was a 6 mile race. And later in life, I continued to run and people said, well, George, when are you going to run a marathon? Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it someday. And I'm proud to say that I have run actually 12 marathons in total. And I'm proud because I was that kid who dropped out of his first race. And yet now I'm proud of where I am here today. So, you know, I failed back then and I felt ashamed, you know, ooh, didn't finish the race. George didn't finish. But I've since run several marathons, including around the Hamilton Bay 6 times. I'm proud of that.
And you should be. And how encouraging and how great that story is. It reminds us of so many things. So right away, we do fail and we don't achieve things, but that could be fuel for the future. So that's okay. And then also, hey, you know what? George can do it. Maybe I can do it too, because I failed once and, you know, I really want to do running and he's doing it. So then I can do it. When we see those moments and milestones along the way, it encourages other people to go along too. It's so often we put ourselves, we don't talk about our stories, people don't know. And I challenge people all the time to say, if we all live to the ripe old age of 130, which I don't know if that's that extreme anymore, and you're talking to your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, your friends and family that have gathered, and you're talking to them about your life and the legacy that you want, what would that be? And then start realizing we need to start talking about that today, what we want to be, and also what we've already done. We need to put it out there because, you know, we're so good. People are so good at writing obituaries. Here's all the great things that I did. And then it's like, well, who knew? And we want to change the conversation from who knew to what's next. So what's next for you, George? You've done these marathons. Will you do something else? Or how do I get there? And it opens up the conversations to say, yes, I too can do what you're doing. And it's not some mythical thing that only the utmost people can do. And so that's about to be celebrated for sure. So kudos to you.
And so I'm thinking maybe we all need to think about writing our obits before we get there.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the things in my book to do is talk about your obit and talk about leaving the legacy that you want to leave. Like, what is it that you want? And so write it from a place of celebration and let people know, hey, these are the things I've done. There's nothing worse than going through and hearing the eulogy at a funeral. And it's like, wow, that was so amazing. Gosh, I wish I'd asked her about that. But we don't talk about it because we are taught, you know, zip it and keep it under wraps and, you know, don't talk about your successes because then it's bad and it's boastful and you don't want to be bombastic. We want to, as humans though, know about successes. That's how we started. We didn't start just talking about failures. We also talked about success. Go here, go there. This is how you plant crops. Like, we now talk so much about failures. I really want to change the conversation to talk about our wins and successes along the way so we can help each other.
And I can see the positive benefit of talking about our success stories for our own personal mental health, for one thing, mental health and energy. Because if we only talk about the mistakes and the failures, then we better not try. Just stay in bed.
Oh, and so many of us, we're in this culture now of talk about your failures, you know, show this and show that and show all the... You know, we talk from wounds instead of scars. It's like, no, you have to watch that. And so many people aren't in a position to talk about all the failures all the time because they have not yet talked about their successes. And they're so uncomfortable talking about their successes. That's why self-deprecation is really something I caution all leaders about. And, you know, a lot of leaders, CEOs especially, like self-deprecation as a form of humor. But the challenge is that you're modeling a behavior that isn't good for most of your team. You're putting yourself down. And yes, I want you to, you know, be that accessible leader. But when you're putting yourself down so much, then it doesn't allow other people to, you know, go for it and see how it works. You need to talk about your journey, the moments along the way. And yes, the milestone that made it happen, the certificate, the award, winning, being promoted to CEO, whatever it is. But we need to talk about those moments along the way of success and not always just about failure. And people just don't know the language of talking about your success because, as you said right at the top, it's not a good thing for a long time to talk about your successes. You know, well, who do you think you are? And so many other statements that my research uncovered, and I did lots of interviews for the book, and people had all those great, terrible, terrible statements that kept us down and kept so many of us hidden gems where, and that invisibility cloak, it's wearing thin. To get to your point about burnout, you know, that's where so many of us feel we can't just give 100%. We have to give 150%. We have to be over-prepared. We have to have everything ready. We have to give, you know, 100% to get that other job where really we probably only need to have about 60% of the qualifications to get that next job. And we've put these measures that are so high on ourselves. And we need to stop doing that. We need to say, yes, I'm already good enough, but I need to talk about my successes so that other people will know about it.
And I can see that when we're applying for a job or a promotion, that's certainly a time where we need to talk about our successes. And it's probably why so many people do so poorly, because they don't do it often.
Yeah, they don't do it enough. And, you know, a lot of your teams, they leave your employment, they'll leave your organization because we are not taught to brag and have a conversation or a culture of bragging within organizations. So the one time that everyone gets a pass to brag and self-promote is when you're looking for a job. So we pull out our CV, we do it, we make it all shiny and spiffy, and we remember all those things that we've done and all those things we forgot that we had done. And then we send it out to other people because we don't want to talk about it in the culture that we're currently in. So you lose a lot of people because you haven't celebrated their successes and they're afraid to talk about it in the current environment. So then they leave so that they can talk about it in a new place and get that next level role. Why are we doing that to ourselves? We're losing awesome people and it's a lot of work for them to go out there and get another job. Keep them by celebrating success and setting up a culture of success and bragging within it. And there's a whole chapter in my book about it, but it's really important to have that kind of culture so that we can see who's doing great things that we do need to share. And it's not Pollyanna-esque. This is really solid business. You know, if we can keep employees, we know there's a cost to that. And also when we can attract right fit clients because they can see our awesome staff and team members, that also means more business for us. Interestingly, too, I've consulted with lots of different firms and their teams aren't able to talk about their successes at dinners with their clients or when they're in the boardroom. They're afraid. And so they wait for the client to ask them their success stories. And it's more pervasive. It's more out there than we realize. And so we need to allow people to start talking about their successes in more and more forums.
Lisa, are you suggesting that people working in an organization, if they are not working in a culture that encourages them to talk about their own success, they're more inclined to shut down or leave?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of people feel like they're hidden gems. They're doing all the work in the background. And, you know, I think it was Oprah, and I'm sure there's been lots of other people that have said it, though, but it's fundamental to the human experience to be seen and heard. And we're not all looking for the employee of the month or the gold stars, but we do want that our work is acknowledged and that we're seen and heard for the contributions that we're giving, right? So we want that. And it's right up there on the needs of an employee, but we don't give it to them because of the culture of our past where it's like, be a cog in the machine, don't ruffle feathers, you know, the cream rises to the top. Or one that irks me the most is, you know, bragging violates modesty norms. And if you were that good, your work would speak for itself. And that's from Adam Grant, who many of us know from his work. But that one, wow, that was fuel for my book. And I had a chance to ask him about that during the pandemic. And I said, hey, Adam, do you still stand by that? Especially knowing what the pandemic did to women in the workplace. You know, so I asked him about, you know, women of color, Black women, Indigenous women. Does he still stand by that saying? And he said, well, it's complicated, but yes, he does, because the research shows that bragging violates modesty norms and that women will be penalized. And so I said, well, the research, huh? So we have to wait for the research to show that we should do something instead of all of us getting out there and starting to talk about our success so that we can change the culture. And then I also realized that the research is done on a very small demographic. And that's why I needed to conduct international research to realize this isn't. And George, you and I are in Canada, we're Canadians. And I thought originally it was a Canadian issue. And it's not. It is a global issue of people having a challenging time talking about themselves. And as we come together to collaborate more, some people are super good at it and they're really loud about it and they are the noise. And some of us are so quiet and so meek and shy and, you know, culturally conditioned that we need to also, I'm not saying become loud and bombastic, but how do you become the beacon? So I can say, hey, George, here's how I'm here to serve. And then you're like, oh, yes, we should partner together. And then we can change something. We can get more business together. We can build a business, whatever it is. So that's really what the book is about. It's not a me, look at me book. It's me in service of you. And that's a reframe for bragging, is that really it's about telling people how you're of service to other people.
How can staff, employees in an organization, how can they talk about themselves? What are the opportunities? And how can they do it in a way without being offensive?
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, we need to realize as leaders, there is no I in team. We know that one, but there is I in credit. And so we have to nurture an environment where we allow people to take credit for the work that they've done. So interesting, in my research too, I found that credit goes where credit knows. So if Joe has always gotten credit for a project, so he was the hero of the last project, good. But Joe, you know what? He takes all summer off. He takes the vacation and he just shows up at the end of our next project and he brings the coffee. Well, at the end of the project, people will still pat Joe on the back because they know him in that light. They've given him credit in the past. It's so easy for us to say, oh, yes, that's Joe. And that's how trust works. We don't want to revalidate everyone. You don't want to revalidate your mechanic who works on your motorbikes time and time again. You find, George, you found that probably trusted mechanic that you like, and you go back to him. You did vet him at first or her at first, but now you don't vet them every single time. So we allow trust to go that way. It's too exhausting otherwise. And so if we as the team members aren't putting out that, hey, you know, Joe did that, but I did this, and here's what my contribution. So that's a key word. My contribution, that phrase. When you say my contribution, it's not saying, hey, I did all of this project. It's saying, here's how I contributed. And then that allows, you know, Joe can still have some of the spotlight, but there's much more daylight for all of us. And that's why I want us to also move away from just a spotlight thinking, but that success needs to be seen in a daylight arena. And so how can there be more of it? Scarcity versus abundance. But we need to let people know that, yeah, Joe did his job, but I also, you know, George also participated and did this great piece of the project, so that when the next project happens, they don't just think of Joe right away. They think of George and Sue and Beth and Muhammad. They think of all the different people that contributed. And so that's why it's really critical for us to set the environment of a bragging society, a bragging culture, and allow people to talk about their credit. And I know some leaders are thinking, oh my goodness, the squabbles that will happen. And that's why I have some tips in the book, because we don't want the squabbling. And I'll give you one point right now. It's really about helping your team to talk about each other's successes. And then that also tempers down that whole, oh my goodness, it's all about her.
My contribution.
I like
the sound of that phrase, because it's safe, it's easy to say, and it's truthful, and it's almost humble.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to watch. There's also another call for more people to be humble and humble and humble. And we have to watch that, because yes, we need to know. I think anyone in your audience already knows that we are here based on the shoulders of giants. Someone has already paid it forward for us to be here and doing the good work that we're doing. And so we will continue. You must continue to do the good work so that other people can thrive and survive in our current environment. But, you know, we have to watch how humble we are, and with the fact that we need to be seen and heard. You know, George, I would love it if people could find me on my teeny tiny piece of the internet. Oh, that just pop into their brain. But that's not how it works. And we need to be out there letting people know. And, you know, it's not always about social media, but it's about sending that email, phoning someone, going to that event, and making sure that you connect, not just network, not just connect, but build a relationship with people. It's all of those things that combine to really make sure that you're seen and heard, because your audience could be one person, and that's okay. But it's making sure that you follow up and that you're actually engaging and letting them know that your successes are here, and that you're valuable to this organization and especially to this world.
Lisa, were you a natural at bragging, or did you struggle to overcome the norms of the day?
You know, George, I have another layer to this. I'm not sure if your audience members of your intended message caught it off the beginning, but my last name is Bragg with two G's, B-R-A-G-G. And so growing up, I realized, you know, probably about when I was 13, which is my daughter's age now, that my success mattered to other people. Success, talking about your success is a lot about context, and context matters. So when I would say, you know, I am a gold star carrying member. I love those gold stars. I want 10 out of 10. Wait a minute, I got 90%, but where'd the last 10% go? And so I would strive, and I would really want those marks. But people would roll their eyes. I would get that, and I'd get, oh, you're going to brag about it? And so that's where I realized success matters to other people, and that my success, people didn't like that. And so I started to hide myself. And strangely enough, I became a broadcast journalist. And back in my day, broadcasting wasn't about me, 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 me. My story was always about my audience. Who am I here to serve? And then the people that I find as the experts to really tell the story. And so often I would go, and I'm as, you know, when they zig, I zag. broadcast, well, journalism in general often is a pack thing. We always have the same people in the interviews, but I always wanted to find that different person so I would have a different story. It would light me up to do so. And so I'd find somebody who wasn't the regular expert, and I'd go up to her and I'd say, "Hey, I think you're the expert. You know, I'd love to interview you." And so often she would say, "Who, me? Oh, no. Go down the hall to John or Mike, the same old, because they've done it before." But I had the opportunity, though, because I was one of the first videographers, and videographer was where you held the camera, and these were big cameras, not the 20, 30 pound cameras, and the microphone at the same time. And so I'd get to do media training on the spot with people. And when they would allow the opportunity to happen, I would then see them go and get another media opportunity. They would get a promotion, and so many good things would happen because they were on camera. And I still to this day have the thank you cards for them saying, "Thanks for helping me through that opportunity. Things have happened." And so that was really interesting to me. And then I decided to leave news and become an entrepreneur. And that's when I was really helping people to get online through this kind of medium for the first time back in 2007. Seems like it's so long ago, but yes, just yesterday too. And helping them to be seen and heard. And that's when I realized after a while, I'm like, there's something to this being seen and heard, but there's also something to the fact that we have all these social constraints and our own personal constraints about why we don't do it. So it's not just it's definitely not a social media book, but in a marketing book, but it's really about the social constraints. A lot of it's about the social constraints that we have holding us back as to why we don't do the things that we know we need to do to get ahead in this era that we're living in. So I struggle with it. And George, I still struggle with it today. Like my book, I have a copy of the book here in my hand right now for the people who are listening on the podcast. And I have a deer dog marked and all the different stickies. Part of it is so when I do readings and do my workshops, but part of it is also for me. I have to come back to it. It is a practice that you have to keep doing, because one of the people in my book, Amelia Sams, she says it's so right. We put ourselves out there and then we're like, "Oh, no. I have to hide myself. It's too much." We have to keep coming back and practicing this muscle, making it stronger and stronger so that we feel comfortable and, you know, we're taking those steps of courage towards being seen and being heard and bragging in the right way so that more people can see us. So it is a practice and I struggle with it. But thankfully, though, my research also found that some of us get a pass. And because I'm now in the author category, I get a pass to talk about my successes and my work and letting you know it has been a bestseller. Like, now that's okay. And some of us CEOs, athletes, writers, obviously celebrities of any merit, they get to talk about it. And we want them to, because we see our successes when they're successful.
And I believe we find success stories, other people's success stories, stimulating and encouraging, especially when we learn about their struggles to success. And so is that a key to when we talk about our success? Do we talk about the effort, the challenge, the struggle, the early mistakes? Is that part of our story?
Well, I always want people to talk. So two parts of that. I want people to talk from a scar and not a wound. When you're telling your stories, it shouldn't be something that you're right in right now and emotionally draining to you. It's something that, and now I know this, right? So when you have that, and now I know this, then you can talk about it from a success place. But when you're in something, unless you're in a position of ultimate power, the vulnerability level is too high, right? So then it's too much of a risk for most of us to talk from that wound. If you are the CEO or at a high ranking position, then you have more latitude to do that. But when you're lower, the power struggle is real. And so I caution against too many people saying, "Here's my authentic struggle." But it's not a place that we want to be showing ourselves in that light, unless you're in a position of power. So I'm concerned with that. And the second point I want to make is that we should be showing moments and not just milestones. Mm. So showing those moments along the way of the journey to where you want to go. And so that's where people are always surprised that all of a sudden you're this huge success, because you haven't shown them the work along the way. So show your work, hopefully more good than bad, but show your work along the way, those moments, instead of just waiting till everything is tied up with a bow and perfect. We want to show moments. And then you're bringing people along on the journey with you. And they can see, okay, I can see how she became the CEO because I can see the red thread through all of it. I can see the red thread of how I got to writing this book, right? So when we look and have the moments and also do the self-reflection that's needed, then we can have the moments, not just milestones, that can really help people come along on your journey. And then they'll be cheering for you too. So that's a big thing of it. And interesting too, my research revealed 85% of us want to hear success stories. We want to hear you brag. It's 12% that they don't want to hear it. And then 3% will turn around and brag about things themselves. So overwhelmingly, talk about your success stories. And those people who don't want to hear it, they'll tune you out. And so they don't matter. And they're probably not your audience anyway.
Good reminder that not everyone is our audience, and there will always be someone who doesn't like something we do, and we got to get over that.
I know, it hurts though too, right? Because we live in this place of like, oh my goodness, people don't like me. What am I going to do? Don't focus on them. Focus on the people that already like you, because there's 1/3 of people will like you. 1/3 of people are, meh, I don't care. And 1/3 of people don't like you. They dislike you for whatever reason. And it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them. So just focus on the people that like you, because then they'll tell a friend and so on and so on. And then things will happen for you. But when we focus on the negative people, you can't change their minds. It's exhausting, George. You've probably tried to do it in the past. It's like, nope, I am just going to walk away from that. It is not my path to go there.
Mm. And for people reminding you, the book is Bragging Rights, and you can find that on all the major retailers.
All the major retailers, yeah.
And if you'd like to learn more about Lisa and how she might work with you, you can find the link to her website in the description below, and that's at lisabragg.com. And Lisa is with an S, and Bragg has 2 G's. Lisa, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a team leader, a business leader, and you could give them 1, 2, or 3 pieces of advice of how they could encourage among their team to brag.
You know, this has been done before, and everyone says it's like, well, start a brag book, a smile file, but actually start it. So encourage your team members to do that, because you don't have enough capacity to remember all of their wins. So it is actually a gift to the leader if your team is collecting the wins on their own behalf, because you're off to the next thing. Like, I don't even remember what I did last week. You know, how can I remember what my team's up to? You know, they want us to, but it's really teaching about self-advocacy. So Brag Book is a beginner place of self-advocacy. So allowing them to take the time to say, hey, here are the great things I've done. But also with that, here are the things that I want that no one gave me a compliment on that I think I did a really good job. Include those in your brag book and smile file or whatever you're going to call it, and have it ready and encourage them to do that, and encourage them to talk about the success of different people on their team. So again, it's not a me story. It's about here's how I'm here to serve and how we can partner and then change the world together. And so when we can talk about someone else's success, that also helps us to talk about our success. And even as an individual, when you shine a light on others, George, just like you're doing here with me now, you're shining the light on me. That light is going to come back to you even more so in different opportunities and different ways that we can't see today. And so encourage your people to shine a light on someone else and help them along the way, especially if it's someone who's not the regular Joe who's always getting the attention. Look for those hidden gems who do need some sort of, hey, kudos, good job, compliment along the way. So those are a few things that I'd suggest to start with. And definitely there's a whole chapter devoted to leadership in the book. So come check it out.
Positive advice. My guest today is Lisa Bragg, reminding you to talk about your successes with pride, because it's about self-love.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.